This morning, our first guest speaker, to kick us off in a powerful way, our friends of Abundant Life. Jeff and Tanya Duvall, we first met them back in 1992 while they were still students at Bethany University. Jeff is here on the front row. His wife Tanya is in the back helping out with tech this morning. And they are friends of Abundant Life. Tanya served as an intern here when she was preparing for ministry. And then she and Jeff married. And now they have been doing powerful, powerful ministry through our high school campuses, and as more recently down in Baja California, plus many, many other things that they have their hands in that I'll let them explain. But we are privileged and blessed to have them with us. And would you just give a nice Abundant Life welcome to Jeff Duvall as he comes and speaks the word today.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Take an extra 5 or 10.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Hey, it's so good to be here among friends. I was thinking as Pastor Greg was talking, I thought, you know, if someday, Pastor Greg says, hey, we don't believe in you anymore. We're going to stop sending you money. We'll just quit and do something else. Because there are some churches that you just feel like I've been such a blessing and such an encouragement to you. And this is one of those churches. As a matter of fact, one of the first places that during college, when my wife was an intern here, I remember speaking here on a Sunday night. At the time, there were posts and there were orange and red. I think it was red carpet and orange pews or something along those lines. I think I could probably look back at my notes and think this didn't make any sense at all. But it's so awesome to be back here. You can meet my wife afterwards if you would like. We have some prayer cards in the back. Would love it if you would just take a couple minutes to pray for us, and that would just be incredible, as well as we kind of have some information about what we're doing, and I'm just so excited to be here. Just to give you an idea of what we're doing, it's kind of crazy. Sometimes people say, what do you do? And I say, yeah, some of that, because God has opened up so many opportunities. We have the opportunities to speak to more than a million students from more than 40 countries and 40 states around the world. We have the opportunity to speak in schools. We work with 5 state attorney generals, the FBI, Homeland Security on things like human trafficking in the schools and suicide. And God is always, there's a new problem all the time to deal with, and the people of God are well situated to deal with problems that the world can't deal with because we have, what do you call it, God. So that really puts us in a good place. We have mentoring programs. We've taken over 3,000 students through mentoring programs in 3 or 4 cities. Just the toughest students. We've been focusing on homeless students in the public school system, on highly at-risk students, on refugees that are pouring into my hometown right now, Sacramento, California, where we've received thousands of refugee students, and the school districts have no idea what to do with them. I remember not too long ago we had taken students on a weekend camp, and I talked to the person who was in charge at the district, one of the largest school districts, and she said, how did you pull this off? How did you take these kids to camp for the weekend? How well do you know your parents? I said, we just met them, and as they were handing over the permission slips that I'm pretty sure they couldn't read, they were crying. And they said, that's incredible. I said, I'm surprised they let us take them too. And so as we went away, they said, well, do you have a translator? I said, our translator didn't show up. They said, well, how exactly does that work? Do you speak? And then I realized she didn't even know what language these kids spoke. And I said, Dari, Farsi, Turkish, a little Kurdish. No, I don't speak any of those languages. She said, how did you do it? I said, a lot of mime and things like that. And I said, can I ask you, how are you doing with these students? She said, not very good. I said, we're doing slightly better than you. So sometimes God just gives you an opportunity along the way. We've also been able to just see God open doors around the world. We've taken more than 9,000 people with us around the world to serve the poorest of the poor, working in all kinds of difficult circumstances. About 4 hours south of the border in rural Baja, California. We have 5 staff members there. We've been working with just incredibly challenging people that are incredibly challenging circumstances there. With Hakan Indians who come up to work in the fields there. And we have built a home for single moms we call Hope Village. We're now building a summer camp and training and ministry center that your church has generously helped us. There's been a couple times we made a call to Pastor Greg and said, we really need some money right now. And we don't want to say you were our first call, but you were our first call. And it's just been incredible to see what God would do. I wonder if you pray with me really quickly. You don't have to stand, but would you just repeat after me? Say, dear God, I'm so glad I'm here this morning. And God, today, you can say whatever you want to me. I mean that. Really. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, if you just lied to God, you're in big trouble. By the way, if you have your Bibles today, you can turn to Numbers chapter 22. I may preach to you from one of the weirdest, not only missions passages, you might even wonder how it's a missions passage, but probably the strangest story in the entire Bible. Now, I have to start out by prefacing this and saying, I have two children, but I'm a questionable parent. I know I'm not a bad parent, but I know I'm questionable because I leave frequently. I travel about 1 out of 3 days, but my wife, she seldom leaves, and everybody gets nervous. She went on a girlfriend's weekend not too long ago, and she brought me an Excel spreadsheet of the children. Keep in mind, my children are 13 and 15, but she brought an Excel spreadsheet explaining their schedule for me for 3 days. I wasn't offended. I found that helpful. When my mother-in-law, who lives with us, also brought down and checked hers against mine, I knew that maybe my wife didn't fully trust me. When a friend came over and had the schedule just to check over, I said, okay, clearly I can't be trusted. My daughter, she said, Mom's gone. Are we going to be okay, Dad? And she said, you know, Mom runs this place. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, but I'm gone all the time. She said, that is not the same, Father. That is not the same at all. And, you know, people would kind of think it's funny. I interact with my children. I tell my daughter all the time, I say, listen, you got to make sure that you earn Daddy's love all the time. And she says, Dad, that's not true, that you don't have to earn Dad's love. It's unconditional. I said, listen, God's love is unconditional. Daddy is not God. You have to earn all the time. I said, your brother was already here. And when he came along, it wouldn't be fair to just like split the love 50-50. He was already here. So we have to give you like less than half of our love, and then you could earn more. And she says, Dad, that's not true. When you have more children, your heart grows so that you have 100% love for I said, that's a lie other parents tell that I won't be a part of. And she looked at, I swear, when she was 18 months old was the first time I could see her rolling my eyes at me. I'd say, she's doing it again. And I remember I was talking to her, having one of these conversations, and she said, Dad, and I said, you know, you ever wish you just had a normal dad? And without even thinking, this is how smart she is. She looked back at me. She said, no, extraordinary dad means extraordinary life. And I thought, OK, who's earning now? Right. Yeah. But listen, God is not questionable. God is perfect. As a matter of fact, it says in his word in 2 Peter 1:3, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. That means a life of purpose, a life of holiness, a life of relationship. So do you ever wonder if God has already given us every single thing we need, why we don't seem to have everything that we need, why we constantly struggle? We're here today talking about missions, about finding that purpose, finding the time, the priority in our lives. Why is it if God has already given it to us, what's the problem? And I want to talk to you today about the fact that we as human beings suffer with something I like to call awareness deficiency disorder. That God is saying, I have it right here for you, and yet we seem to be constantly blind. One of the weirdest stories in the entire Bible, Numbers chapter 22. If you grew up in Sunday school, this was one of the classics. And we have this character named Balaam in the Old Testament. And here's the story really quickly. Children of Israel, they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. You probably remember that story. They park on the other side of the Jordan. This is good for them. God has given them the promised land. If you're living where God has promised the land to someone else, that's not good for you. Those people are nervous. And so one of the kings there, he says, we got to do something. He says, these people win everywhere. They don't have the right weapons. They don't have the right soldiers. They win. God must be on their side. We must need God's help in some way. So he finds a guy who's kind of a psychic, a little bit of a sorcerer maybe. This guy named Balaam. And Balaam is this guy that has a reputation for being able to understand what's happening in the supernatural realm. So he sends some emissaries to Balaam and he says, listen, we are willing to back up a truckload of money if you will come and curse these people so maybe we can beat them in a battle. And Balaam says, well, it doesn't work exactly like that. I only do what God says. So he goes, I'll ask God. When he goes to God, God says, don't curse these people. I've blessed them. Balaam comes back. He says, I can't curse it. Listen, this is whatever I do. It's not going to matter because God has blessed these people. And they say, no, you don't understand. We will back up another truckload of money. So Balaam goes back to God. And this is one of those situations. Remember when you were a kid, you asked your mom twice And the first time she told you no, and the second time she said, I guess if you want to. God kind of does the same thing. And he says, go ahead and go. But God has decided to send an angel to take Balaam's life along the way because Balaam questioned God. And we pick up the story in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, so the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the way to block his way. As Balaam and his two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into the field. But Balaam beat it back and turned it back into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between the two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then here's where it gets weird. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done that deserves you beating me three times? It asked Balaam. You've made me look like a fool, Balaam said. If I had my sword with me, I would kill you. But if I'm the same donkey that you have ridden your entire life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him and said, why did you beat your donkey these three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I have come to block your way because you're stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now, would have spared your donkey. And Balaam confessed to the Lord, I've sinned. I didn't realize you're standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you're against me going. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, now go with these men, but say only what I tell you. And this time Balaam gets the message. He walks out and the king says, I'll pay you, curse these people three times. He walks out and blesses the people of Israel. And the story turns around. But this is probably the strangest story in all of the Bible. And it's strange for a couple of reasons. One is, as I already told you, Balaam is some sort of like psychic character. We don't know exactly what his story is. But somehow he also has recognized how to hear from God. That's a little weird. And, you know, it's a little confusing. We don't have all the answers behind that, but we know that Balaam can hear from God. And listen, later he'll actually be killed in another battle, and Jesus talks to him about the book of Revelation. It's one of those strange Bible characters, and it makes it a strange story. But here's another strange thing about this story. Balaam's donkey can talk. Okay, listen, I know we're used to this with the movies, but this isn't Narnia. You know, this isn't Harry Potter. In real life, animals don't talk. Maybe a parrot can talk every once in a while, and they taught that gorilla to do sign language. But besides that, donkeys do not talk, only in Shrek. This is not real, you know. But here's one of the weirder things about this story. When Balaam's donkey starts talking to him, he isn't surprised. He's been riding this donkey his entire life. And when the donkey says, wait a second, why are you beating me? I haven't done anything to deserve this. And Balaam says, yes, you have. And I'm so mad I'd kill you right now by my sword. I don't know if you were like riding your horse and all of a sudden the horse started talking to you, what you might do. But I might say, that animal can talk. But Balaam is in such a fit of rage that he doesn't even get it. But here is the weirdest thing in a story of weird things about this, is that Balaam has been riding to certain death several times. There is an angel standing there with a sword in his hand, ready to take Balaam's life, and Balaam cannot see it. This scripture never tells us that the Lord gives the donkey the ability to see something supernatural. It gives the donkey the ability to speak. But Balaam has somehow missed what is clearly right in front of him the entire time. And only when God says, okay, listen, let me give you the ability to see what you should have seen all along, that I've been standing in your way. I've been trying to get through to you. I've been willing to take your life. And then Balaam all of a sudden sees it. And this is so much like you and me, where we are walking through our lives, where God is trying to show us things, saying, listen, I've given you what you need. I have called you to a purpose. You have a mission.
And if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, I'm going to church on Sundays, I put my time in, I'm not sure, you know, like, what am I doing with my life? Listen, God has called you to a mission. And if you haven't found God's purpose for your life, it's not because he isn't trying to show you. If you say, I just don't know, I need God to do something, God is giving you and me opportunities all the time, but we miss them because we suffer as human beings from awareness deficiency disorder. You know, it shouldn't be that irregular. I'm a man, so I do dumb things. My wife sends me to the refrigerator, and she says, hey, get such and such. And I look at the refrigerator, and here's what I see. I go, okay, I can't really see it. Where is it? And I call back out, and I go, hey, Tanya, I don't know where it is. And when she comes and opens the refrigerator, here's what she sees. Because I have something that men have called refrigerator blindness. This is a condition where you cannot focus on anything behind the front row of things. And ladies, you laugh, but you know, it's something that we men do along the way. I've done some stupid things in my life. A couple of years ago, we had some friends and they were having a birthday party for one of their children, who actually shared a birthday with mine, but she had recently had another child. And I was standing there holding her one month old child. And, you know, I was talking to her, and it was a hot day in the summer. I wasn't really thinking. I was just completely zoning out, thinking about something else. And as I was sitting there talking to her, I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but when a woman has a baby, before she has a baby, she looks very pregnant. After she has a baby, it takes a little while before her body returns to, her pre-baby form, let's say. And I was holding the baby, and as I was sitting there talking to her, I said, I'll bet you're going to be glad when that baby comes out. You must be hot. This is crazy. And she looked at me and she said, what? And I said, I realized something is like, danger, Will Robinson, what's happening here? And I was like, what is going on? And I go, and all of a sudden I realized. And she said, what are you talking about? The baby you're holding? And I said, what are you talking about? She looked at me and she said, I don't know. And I just handed her baby and I walked away. There was nothing else to do. Now, you might think that people have asked me, like, did that really happen? That happened. I wouldn't tell you a story that made me look that stupid if it didn't happen. But this is the reality, that you and I are sometimes clueless to the obvious. Because what is physically obvious sometimes isn't spiritually obvious. And the opposite is also true of those things. You know, we sang this song, the story that says, I was never forsaken. You were there all along. And you and I suffer from a condition where we say, I've been through all kinds of things and I can look back and see that God was there all along. But right now I'm in the middle of something and I don't see God doing anything. Therefore, he's probably not. Not realizing that we'll be over here in the future looking back saying, God was there all along in that situation. Every single one of mine, one of my favorite movies, probably because of my age at the time it came out, is the Karate Kid. And if you haven't ever seen The Karate Kid, you should leave church right now and go watch The Karate Kid. But in that movie, he's getting beat up, and a short guy from Okinawa beats up the kids that beat him up. And it turns out they're going to have a big fight in a karate tournament, but he doesn't know any karate. So he decides, okay, I'm going to train for karate. And Mr. Miyagi, the little short guy, he tells him, okay, listen, you have to do everything I say no matter what. You have to do everything that I say. So he begins to train him. And he says, okay, first thing you're going to do is wash these cars. Then you're going to wax them. And you're going to wax on, wax off. Thank you very much. Yes. And he says, this just doesn't seem like karate. And the point comes after he's sanding his decks and painting his house and staining his fence, where Mr. Miyagi comes home after fishing one day and he's not happy. And this is the scene that plays out.
I learned how to sand your decks. Maybe I wash your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty, right?
And not everything is as simple.
Daniel-san.
What?
Come here. Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. Big soccer. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, wax off. Wax off. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand from inside. Wax on. Wax off. Show me paint the face. Up, down. Up, up. Down, down. Up, up. Down, down. Other side. Look, I always look. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Back wrist. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Show me paint the fence.
Yes! Face! Yes! Yes!
Show me side to side.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Show me sand of floor.
Yes! Face! Face!
Yes. Come back tomorrow.
I know, right? First time I saw this when I was a kid, I was like, no way. The last time I saw this when I was watching it with my teenage daughter, I said, wait a second. How much is this like me? And so many times in my life where I thought I was painting fences and waxing cars and sanding decks, and God says, I was teaching you karate. Listen, listen. Seriously, in all seriousness, just because you can't tell what God is up to right now at this particular point in your life does not mean he's not up to something. God has called every single one of us. Jesus says, I have commanded you to go. And that might not necessarily mean we can go to a foreign country, but it is the fact that we can't get on a plane and move does not rescind God's commandment to us to go. And God has given us opportunities, but we miss them along the way. And, you know, Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians 4:18. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul's saying this. Listen, if you look at what you can just see, you will miss the truth, because the truth relies on what is unseen. If you focus on the world that you and I, we believe that we live in a world where everything is physical, this is real, and it's an avatar for something that is less real, that is spiritual, when the fact of the matter is the opposite is true. That what is eternal, what is unseen, that's the reality, and this is the thing that's kind of fake. And Paul is saying you will be blinded to what God is really trying to tell you if you focus on what is right in front of you. And he's a man that knows. He had everything together, the education, the connections. He was living his life the way he thought was right religiously. And when God struck him blind for 3 days, for the first time in his life, he could really see. God wants to show you and I what he's putting in front of us on a daily basis in our lives. And we miss it because we refuse to close our eyes and see what is really happening. And listen, we have opportunities. I told you, a couple of years ago, I was visiting a home for trafficked women in rural Baja, California. And it was women who'd come out of trafficking. They had kids. There was four trailers, four RVs, not like nice trailers, four RVs. With 29 kids and 11 moms living in them. And I said, well, let's try to figure out something. So we began to build homes. Well, at least I wanted to, but I didn't know what to do. A lady came to me and she said, I'll give you a piece of land on the side of a hill. And so we went out there and we looked at it. I took a bunch of people with me and I said, can you see homes on the side of this hill? We'll take bulldozers and we'll flatten spots out and we'll build homes. They looked at me and said, no, we can see. You're crazy. And I said, no, can't you see it? It's right here. And I remember that one of those guys, he went back to his church and he said, hey, can you come and meet with us? And I came in and I said, hey, can you help us with this? And I left the meeting and they called me on the phone. And they said, we've decided to give you $40,000 to start this project. And I said, awesome. When I took him there, just 8 months later, we already had the first homes built and over 20 people living in those homes and five families. He came to me. He said, I can't believe you did this. I said, you gave me $40,000. He said, yeah, I didn't know. I just,
you seem crazy enough to me, you might pull it off. But I had no idea how you might actually do this. And I said, God has helped us all the way along. That's what God does. I've stood in front of gymnasiums full of students. And we can't even say the word of God, the name of God, but we believe that God is there. I pace in the back praying before I go out and tell dumb stories and say, God, do something in this place. We were in Vallejo, California, a kid with 1,700 students in that gymnasium. He came down to the front. He talked to me afterwards. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And when this first started to happen decades ago, I'd say, oh, what's up? They found me out. But I said, yeah. And he said, all the speakers that you brought are Christians, right? And I said, yeah, all of them. I said, how do you know? I already knew the answer. He said, the minute you grab the microphone, I could feel the presence of God in this place. At the end of those things, we invite students to come down and right away that they'll change. And it's amazing because students come down and they write, serve God. Jesus with my friends, take care of my mom, stop doing drugs, things that we aren't even talking about. Because God can do things that you and I can't see that we can't do. Let me just finish with this. Just four simple things from this scripture. Number one, don't limit God. God uses a donkey. God uses a sorcerer. He does all kinds of things. So don't limit God and say, God, you can't do that. This problem is too big. That doesn't make any sense. The Bible is full of weird stories where God does all kinds of things. Number two is this. Don't just do what you've seen somebody else do before. I remember we were going into New Orleans several years ago, and I walked in and I talked to a guy there and I said, we want to do assemblies in 40 schools the week before the Super Bowl. He said, about what? I said, we want to talk about human trafficking. We're going to bring in a 45-foot screen and we're going to show 3D videos. And he said, wait a second, you're going to show 3D videos and have speakers and talk about human trafficking in the schools. I said, yeah. He said, does anybody want that? I said, probably not. He said, how are we going to do it? I said, we're going to pray. We ended up doing 57 schools in 1 week. And God did amazing things. We made connections from that point with several state attorney generals. Number three is this, expect a beating. Listen, Jesus said in this life you will have troubles. He said, all men will hate you because of me. Isn't that a blessing in your life? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you think, okay, things aren't going well, it's because I'm doing it wrong. That's not the case. Our greatest heroes of this faith have been murdered. Expect a beating along the way. And the last one's this, don't disqualify yourself. God uses a donkey, a sorcerer, and you don't know the impact you might have until you say, God, show me what you see. Use my life. And I'll just end with this story. Sean, if you want to come up to the guitar. A couple of years ago, 2 years ago now almost, I told my wife, I said, you know, it'd be fun. And she said, what? My wife is a lifelong dog hater. I know you think she didn't have a soul. But a couple of years ago, she said, I want to get a dog. We have some friends out of dog. She called me one day. She said, I think I like their dog. And I was like, I don't know who's on the phone with me. So we got a dog. And I said, you know, it might be fun because she loved this dog. We're going to have an outside dog. The dog never goes outside. It's this giant, like 85-pound boxer. And, you know, and she never goes outside. And I said, crazy. Now you're like a crazy dog person. She's posting pictures on Instagram of her dog. Not even with her, just the dog, you know. And I said, you know, it'd be fun. When I was a kid, we raised dogs, so we should have puppies. And she said, what's that? I go, yeah, the kids, they'd love it. I mean, it's so cool having puppies. It's a miracle of life, all this kind of stuff. And she said, I don't know. Will you help me? I said, yeah. She said, will you really? I said, why are you so worried? She said, because we've been raising children together for several years now. I said, I get it. I will help you. And she said, okay, that's great. I was gone when the dog went into labor, of course. And she told me, she said, this dog's having puppies and, you know, it's so crazy and I don't know what to do and all this stuff. And a friend came over and helped. And I remember when I got home a couple days later, something that I had forgotten because it'd been a couple decades since I've been around really newborn puppies. Puppies are born with their eyes shut. Like glued shut. My autistic son would come in and he wanted to like open their eyes. Like, don't do that. God has closed them for them. And it is unbelievable when you witness this process that I had forgotten all again, that these babies are completely blind. They can't even walk. They're almost completely helpless. They have two instincts. And based on those two instincts, they not only stay alive, but they thrive. Those instincts are, stay close to the mom, and when mom's gone, stay close to each other. Or we call it a dog pile. Completely blind, they realize
If we stay close to the mom, the source of life, and each other, we will live and we will thrive. I probably don't have to apply that for you today. Listen, God wants to show you on a daily basis. And I could go on and on about the times I've missed it and about the times that I've said, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. This is weird, but let's walk through this door again. God wants to use you. He says, I've given you everything you need. It's right in front of you. Close your eyes and see it for real. Would you close your eyes just as I pray and turn it back over to Pastor Greg this morning? God, across this room. God, across this room. God, I pray that you're bringing faces to people's minds. God, opportunities, relatives, grandsons, granddaughters, nieces, nephews, cousins, co-workers, neighbors that they've never met. God, would you show us, God, strike us blind so that we can see for the first time for some of us, God. God, I pray for people that once had a dream, but they've gotten on the sidelines. God, life has beat them down. Things have come along the way. God, reignite something. God, as we talk about taking our resources and sending them around the world and investing in what you have, God, would you show us that that isn't just a sacrifice, that isn't just an obligation or something we're encouraged to, but it is an opportunity to see something happen in a place where we'll never actually get to see it happen. But God, a day is coming in eternity when we will see what you were doing all along that we got to be a part of. God, help us. Help us, help us to really see in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I wonder this week, after hearing this message, how our sight will change. How the people at work will look different. How the people that we meet day to day in our neighborhood or at the place we stop to shop or at the coffee shop, how they'll look different. Because now we're realizing that God is doing something and has been doing something all along that we didn't realize he was doing. The life of faith is actually walking into that place. Our missions month is more than about making a pledge on a pledge card, although that's very, very important. Missions month is also about getting the heart of God inside of us so that we won't just write checks every month, but that will become part of God's reach into people's lives. And after these 4 weeks, if something happens, or if two or three things happen, we'll be in it. We'll be in lockstep with God's heart. And the first is that as we live our lives each and every day, if we see every moment as a mission moment. Say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm not going overseas. Well, there's no such thing as foreign to God. A God who is everywhere all at the same time doesn't have foreign in his vocabulary. Everywhere to him is home. Overseas is foreign to us, but not to the people that live there. We have a mission right here. There aren't many missions. We messed that up. There's one mission. Seeking to save that which was lost. If we get in tune with God and begin to reach people wherever we are in our normal flow, we'll be living in the heart of God. If we begin to use our finances for God's glory, we'll be in lockstep with God's heart. He already said, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, running over. We've learned that as a church. If you're a guest with us or if you're fairly new with us, you're going to learn that real quick. There's one thing Abundant Life people have learned is God's economy. And you need to learn it too. Because it will transform your life. What would God have you do this year? Say, but God, but Pastor, I don't have a lot. Well, we already learned today that we can function in the unseen. You don't know what God is going to do to your finances because of the faith step that you take this next couple of weeks. I wish I had time, and maybe we'll be able to do it the next few weeks to share stories with you about how people took steps of faith with their finances when they didn't have them but yet God was true to his word. Maybe God is calling some of you to go to a different location, to people in need. Maybe to Baja with Jeff and Tanya. Maybe to one of the projects that we'll be doing this year. Maybe God is calling you to go. We've had many go from our church. Let's step into the unseen and watch how life truly takes a supernatural turn for us. Don't you know God is not a God of the normal? He's a God of the supernatural. I'm going to close this in prayer this morning. We're not going to collect cards today. That doesn't mean you should skip the next three Sundays to get away from this. But we'll be starting next week to collect our pledge cards. And note that I never present a monetary goal. I never say, this year we want to raise X amount of money. Because I don't think that's really God's heart. He can produce money out of a fish's mouth like he did in the Gospels. What God does want is our heart. So our goal is 100% participation. What if every single person that calls himself an abundant lifer, kids included, did something for missions and got the heart of God? You know what I think? I think God would do something truly supernatural. Because when the people are in one accord, God loves that and he blesses that. We've never hit that mark. Our high water mark, I believe, is 81%, which is pretty awesome. But that's still shy. Maybe this year, 100% of Abundant Life people will do something for the mission of God. Pray this week. Pray that God would stir you to see what you can't see in your daily life. To see what you can't see in your budget. To see what you can't see. Possibly about doing something supernatural for him. And I guarantee you, God will meet you right there. Let's pray and then we'll be done today. Would you stand up as we pray? Father, I thank you for this word. Powerful. Thank you for bringing Jeff and Tanya here to bring it to us. God, help us to overcome awareness deficiency syndrome. Oh, God, I have that so often. When right in front of me is an opportunity, but my busyness blinds me. My selfishness blinds me. What I think is priority blinds me. And I've been unaware of the miracle standing right there. I've been unaware of the need standing right there. God, help us all to have our blinders taken off. Like Balaam had his taken off. God, if you could just give us the sight of a donkey, we'd be much better. Help us this week, Lord. As we get into our word every day in our Bible first lifestyle, let every day your word come more vibrant and more clear to us. And then let's live the lifestyle of the Bible every day. I thank you, God. I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. As we pray this week, God, speak to us to lead us in what we will do. And help us to step in faith next week as we come prepared to give our pledges. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sean, close us off with a song. Let's go out in celebration today.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.